Jeremy here. Just before we get into the show, wanted to give an update. We have a new tier on our Patreon. That is the Sheikah supporter tier. For $5 or more a month, you get a week early access to episodes, as well as getting to pick games that you play alongside us. Each month, people in this tier can pick a game that we'll play. We'll stream it on our Discord for everyone else to see. And it's been a lot of fun. We just played the Rogue Hero Ruins of Tassos game, which is this roguelike, Zelda-like game that is very similar to the old Four Swords games. It's very chaotic. It's very, very fun. If you want to join up in that, go to patreon.com/chatofthewild. If you can't afford that, we do still have the smaller tier. Just a reminder, people that join in that tier, they get ad-free episodes. They also get access to our side quests episodes, where once a month we record an episode just talking about all the other games that we have been playing. You also get to pick the games that we play in between Zelda games, what we call our Gaiden games, as well as getting a shout-out. If that sounds good to you, once again, go to patreon.com/chatofthewild. Sign up, support us. We really appreciate it. Anyways, that's all I have, so let's get on with the show.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chat of the Wild is part of the HyperX Podcast Network. To find out more information and other great shows, go to podcast.hyperx.com.
This is the Triforce of Wisdom, Link. The evil wizard Ganon has the Triforce of Power. Whoever gets both Triforces will rule this land forever. You must help me, Link.
Hey, for you, Zelda, anything.
Nice job, hero.
Hey, excuse me, princess.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild, a bonus episode, bonus season, I guess we'll call it. Thanks to the patrons loving or hating us so much. One of our goals that we had were to watch and review the Legend of Zelda cartoon series.
They love us.
Yay. Oh, boy.
It's okay. I think everybody thought this was going to be a great idea.
To be fair, we put the targets on our back and they just fired at it. That is how this works. But here we are. We have watched
an
episode of The Legend of Zelda, the cartoon series from, I did not look this up, 1989.
So we've got two Zelda games out at this point. And this is also part of the Super Mario Super Show. So we've got two Mario game, well, two main NES Mario games in every house in America at this point. And so, the 89 is Nintendo owns America at this point.
So I'm Jeremy Harvey. We have BC Nelson here.
I am Brian Auer.
And Luigi.
And
right, Luigi.
Hi.
Whatever name you're going by.
Can we watch the Super Show?
You can watch whatever you want, man. It's fun.
It's also awful.
each episode is around 15 minutes long. We got these. I don't. How did they? It wasn't every Super Mario Super Show had one of these.
Every Friday.
But it was like every Friday. How often did the Super Show play?
Super Show was multiple times a week. 5 days a week.
Ooh,
holy crap! I did not realize that.
This is children's television, so they have syndicated the crap out of it. All of these are probably produced in bulk and then syndicated out. This is how cartoons worked in the 80s and continuing to go forward into the 90s and stuff. Also, yeah, I guess this is an outlier because the source material... No, never mind. The source material comes from something else. Usually 80s cartoons were bought as toys from someone that already made them in a different country, and then a cartoon was created around it to sell those toys. But yeah.
Or they invent them at the same time. They create a cartoon series too, with a toy line in mind at the same time.
It was much cheaper to go to a different country, buy the rights to their toys, and just get those toys. So yeah.
And I will say it's important to note that this is from a children's television show.
Yes.
But it's also a children's... It's a children's television show in the late 80s. So,
yes.
Again.
This is from Deke. I assume this is written by... I forget who wrote... I know Nintendo PR read the same people who wrote Nintendo Power at this time. Had control over script. They were involved with a lot of the licensing and non-video game side of things with Nintendo of America. But Deke, the Canadian cartoon production company, did this, voiced it and stuff, but written by Americans, voiced by Canadians.
So normally when we are doing these kind of things, I always say, hey, play along with us. It'll be a lot of fun. Don't watch this show. Mm-hmm. It's bad. It's so bad. It is so bad. It is hard to watch as we take our favorite video game series, our one of our favorite heroes, and turn him into a sex pest. Like, and he's so annoying the whole time. And even Zelda, who's probably like the best character in this, is still just like, just shut up. Like, why are you still going on about this?
Zelda is a 1980s business world, the conception of second wave feminism. That is like, like, oh, yeah, right. She's just going to whine about everything.
Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Link's character, like his only personality traits are, he's essentially the combination of like Raphael from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, just like some dude who's like this too cool for school jerk, and a Jodeci song from the early 90s, just like debilitatingly horny. That's the entire character. He just is like, oh man, look at how cool I am, and oh, I really want to make out with Princess Zelda. How can I make out with Princess Zelda?
I take some offense at the Raphael line. He is my favorite turtle. I don't know. We don't ever really get to see him around
pizza
love interests, so who knows how he would have acted in that situation, if you want to call that. I don't think he ever, you know, was really into the neutrinos in that episode. That was Mikey, I thought, but
we are off subject. We need to start actually talking about this show so we can get it over with.
Yeah, go ahead.
In our first episode, called "The Ringer," written by Bob Forward. Don't know Bob Forward. I put these names down. I don't know who these people are. Maybe Brian will be like, oh, really? Are you kidding me? Like, maybe a name will pop up at some point.
I don't recognize them as a Nintendo PR name. Yeah, no, sorry.
So, first we need to talk about, before we get anything else, the intro.
Yes.
So we are given an overview of this world.
Yeah,
this
they establish the rules. They establish rules right up front. I mean,
this is the land of Hyrule. There are two magical things called the Triforce.
Yeah. Know,
break it. You break it down. Try meaning two, and force meaning force.
And what do these things do?
There are only two pieces of the Triforce in this world. And maybe there's going to be a twist at some point in the show where, like, at the last episode or something like that, we find, like, Link finds a new Triforce. But they don't, because, yeah, we do have to take it as the source material that we had in the original Zelda was that there was one piece of Triforce, and it was the Triforce of, where we're putting together
the
wisdom.
We were assembling the Triforce of Wisdom.
Ganon had the Triforce of Power.
There is no mention of a Triforce of Courage. I believe at that point, the tri just refers to it's a triangle.
A triangle. Sure.
Also, the rules of this world are CTF. We're playing Capture the Flag.
Absolutely.
Right.
We're just playing back Halo.
I had warned BC beforehand that this show is literally just Ganon going, I will get the Triforce. And then Link stops him and he's like, no, I'll get the Triforce next time. And then that's all the show is. And so far, that is what the show is. We'll see. I have not seen every single episode of this series. I just could not put myself through it. But now that I got paid to do it, here we are.
The thing we're going to learn, at least in the next two episodes, is that Ganon doesn't just stand around yelling and whining about it. Ganon's the only one doing anything. It's his adventure. He's the only one setting out on a quest to get the Triforce.
So we wait. We start this episode off, because it's Zelda, with Link asleep. But this time he is asleep in Hyrule Castle. We have not seen that before. Mm. We are introduced to the fact that Link saved the world and now lives in Hyrule Castle.
Not happy about it.
He hates it. He hates it. He wants to go sleep in the dirt.
Yeah.
Like a hero.
Yes. The sleeping in filth. Yeah.
But for him, there is a great perk to that. And that's that he gets to be a peeping Tom.
That's the one good thing, is that he gets to go all David on Bathsheba.
The first part of the story.
Not murdering the husband and, you know, all the other stuff. Just the staring out over the balcony. Sorry.
I will constantly call on Brian for putting out references that are too old. And this one went like full circle on its age.
That's some Bronze Age shit right there.
So he's doing that. He catcalls Zelda. A fairy shows up. We don't know who this fairy is, but the fairy is like, I told you to wear your robe. And it's like, honestly, she looked fairly clothed to me as well. But if you consider like old gowns that they would wear, like, you know, sleeping gowns and all of that. And they're.
He says specifically, it's great to see Zelda from this angle. So he's like up in this high tower looking down Zelda's shirt. Children's television show.
Yeah.
Right.
And
although he's also like a quarter of a mile away from her, so I really don't know what he's going to be seeing.
Well, I mean, when the shot introducing her is, you know, moving, you know, male gaze moving up her body shot, which is like, I'm like sitting here like, ah, oh, that's great. This is awesome. He's ogling her. And then he calls out. And I was like, no. And it just gets worse. But yeah, and then Sprite shows up and, oh boy.
Immediately after this scene, like, he looks at that and she walks away. Moblins are in his bedroom attacking him, and we get one of many incredibly slow fight scenes where everyone is sort of rolling on each other and the moblins are like, crash, like, into a bed or something like that.
You see, Link only has his shirt on here because he has still only just woken up and has nothing else. And it's really more of a the director's doing a metaphor here for being caught with your pants down, and that's, you know, how the moblins sort of play into this. It's all imagery and themes.
Please don't do this for this entire season, Brian.
No, not. I kind of wanted to do a gimmick where I did look at this like I was doing some every frame of painting thing. And then, like, we just got sexual harassment, like, right up front. And we're like, oh, I can't actually have, you know, make a joke now.
So Link fights these moblins. It's slow. It's boring. and he's quipping the whole time. When he kills one of the moblins, it drops a skeleton bow. And Link's just like, oh, I'm glad to have this. And then we get the first instance of where they try to, they don't explicitly say it, but they're just like making jokes about the video game thing, about like, where does he keep all those things? And he takes it and puts it in his pocket after he gets dressed up and everything. And it shrinks down into his little pocket. And in the next episode, we'll go even further with that in one of the stupidest ways. But
I think they just got lazy in the next one, where they're just like, we've established how it works. Why don't we don't have to animate the shrinking and the growing of weapons.
He did say it was a magic bow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's also, it's establishing rules. He has a magic pocket that holds a bunch of crap. That's how he can pull all this stuff up, you know, when he needs it. And we also get a Chekhov's gun thing here. It's not that great, but it
Chekhov's
does establish...
magic bow.
It does establish that he has Chekhov's bow.
He gets a knock on the door, and he thinks it's more enemies. And then Zelda's just like, no, I'm at the door. And he's like, oh, I guess I get a reward now. Come here and give me a kiss. And she's just like, no, absolutely not.
Hits him, rightly so. Not for the kiss, but for the thing from earlier.
Yes.
Was why he was struck. Right. The kiss is just an extra.
Not including the intro, this is where we get his amazing catchphrase, excuse me, princess. That's exactly what, no, he does. It's the most annoying. It stretches out the words in the worst places. It's just so annoying, and I don't know why. Who was the person that was just like, well, what would Link say? Link needs a catchphrase. And... It's excuse me, princess.
So this is a cultural meme. Like this is a multi-generational meme. Everybody knows this joke. And like, oh, that show sucks. Excuse me, princess. Did you know the first time he uses it in the show, it's because he's like, what, you're mad that I harassed you? And then now I'm just gonna gaslight you? Like, did you know that's when it was used? No? Okay, cool. Oh my god.
This show isn't so much a Zelda show as it is a bunch of 80s tropes jammed into a Zelda skin. It is the quintessential like bunch of dudes in a room were like, how do we make money off of this? Like yeah.
I'm about to compliment this. The music's good.
The music is amazing.
Good renditions of the original Zelda themes. They even took sound effects in odd places and put it into there. And I believe all of this stuff is just like recorded specifically for this show, because it's not just like taken out of like an NES speaker.
And it looks like there was a budget for the music. Because some of it is done with synths, some of it is synths that are like emulating an orchestra, some of it is done with like a 10-12 piece ensemble.
It sounds like that live, way. It definitely
there's some
sounds
live
that
orchestration
way.
In here.
Yeah, I guess even back then they didn't have probably the tech to emulate that. Back then they actually had to do real instruments. Maybe
there's a couple of decent sounding orchestrated synth stuff, like. I think in the second episode, but
it's good.
Live orchestra stuff. Like
it's
a
good.
Live orchestrated version of the dungeon themes from Zelda 1. It's great. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I honestly good. Would, if I found that there was like a soundtrack of this, I might want to get my hands on that. As long as there is no voice clips whatsoever. Maybe Zelda. I think she's fine. But it's still just like, she's just a stubborn princess a lot of the times, and that's just more of her personality. But her voice is not nearly as grating as every single other character in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we are told that this was the third attack by Ganon this month or this week or something like that, of him trying to take the Triforce.
Yeah.
And Link, his sole purpose of living in the castle is to protect the Triforce, which he keeps in his bedroom.
It's in his. They keep him in its bedroom, I think.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. You have to sleep in the Triforce room.
This is why he is on the highest tower. Why he has a good vantage point, if you will. You'd think like the royalty would be in the highest keep, but no, the very important, powerful item is there. So they stick the bodyguard with it.
Yeah, we do get a little bit of this, of the of Link being upset that Zelda won't kiss him, and then Sprite being upset that she's not enough for him. And he mentions about how she's like 2 inches tall or something like that. And that's going to be a theme too. It's just going to be Sprite is wants Link. Link wants Zelda. That's our Triforce of love in this series.
There's a lot of pining going on. Unnecessary amount of pining.
Who's the amazing actress who played the fairy in Legend of
Neil?
She's at the Guild.
Felicia Day.
Felicia Day does an amazing job of how this Sprite's role is like.
She is, but the thing is, look, here's the problem. Her character is still problematic, but it's going so far and it's supposed to be comical and making fun of it in so many ways. Like, her character is very problematic, but not in the way where we look at it and be like, we're just like, yeah, it was biting commentary back then.
She's doing a perfect job of what Sprite is really like, Sprite really is, basically.
Zelda explains that she's busy because she has to judge a magic competition.
Cool.
That's what she does with her time as princess.
Yeah.
While we're being attacked by ultimate evil trying to take over the world all the time, every 3 days.
Everything's fine. Just go back.
Got
to
keep up appearances. Got to keep calm and carry on. Right. Like she's got to show up at these places. Can't let the civilians be worried about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Link is mad that he has to stay in his room and lets out this anguished, just hate-filled yell, which slowly, you know, the frame slowly transition to Ganon, who is also yelling angrily to show that Link and Ganon are like two sides.
No, no, no! I'm not letting you do this.
They're both evil and manipulative, but separated by alliances, you know, different allegiances. So
you are not turning this into art, Brian.
No, it's not
this
art.
Not turning this into art.
Some storyboard artist hates what this is and is letting us know what's really going on here.
We see Ganon talk about how his new plan to get the Triforce is to pretend that he is a magician and to show up at this magician's competition, I don't know, Robin Hood style, because they're even just sort of like, someone says like, but you're not an amateur magician, you're a professional, you're amazing. And he's just like, I know. And it's like, why would you bring that up? Why is that important? He's just impersonating someone to get in the walls, right?
Well, the whole thing is like, it's an amateur magician contest. And he's like, you're no amateur, you're a pro. And he's like, well, they don't know that. And then he proceeds to show up in these ornate robes carried by 4 like servants on this gigantic, like, I don't know what you call it when you have the king chair, like the royalty chair on like.
It's called conspicuous AF.
Yeah. He's like, no one will know I'm an amateur. I'm not an amateur. I'm just going to show up in a Rolls Royce. Like,
they established earlier, Link does, that he didn't kill those moblins. He sent them back to Ganon. So when we start the scene, Ganon just murders those guys. Like, we're told, hey, it's all right. I didn't kill those dudes. They'll probably be back tomorrow and I'll punch him again. No, they won't.
We'll bring it up in the episode 2. What happens is they get sent to the Evil Jar.
Yes.
That is the name. That is the exact name of it. The Evil Jar. Where if any monsters die, they go back to the Evil Jar. Mm. And that isn't established until the next episode, though this episode ends with Ganon in the Evil Jar with no explanation as to like why is he in that glass now. We don't understand why. Because, you know, we'll get to it. hopefully sooner rather than later, that Ganon loses in this episode.
They also show his ability to blink, just like from the game. They work that in like immediately, but then they take it away by saying, "I can only do that like an unlimited amount of times here in the underworld," which establishes that the dungeons are actually like a different realm, they're separated more than just going downstairs, I guess.
Worked with what they had, I guess. You know, like they didn't have time to beat the game and read the manual. They were just like, okay, I played it for a half hour. I know how to make this show now.
I think his logic is and plan is dumb. I think the pomp and ridiculousness of this scene, I love it. Somehow, just it is paced so slowly, and it's just dumb plan coming together, and there's this, like I said, live orchestrated music behind it, and just somehow I'm just like, all right, Ganon, I'm here for you, buddy, I guess.
Ganon is waiting in line to show off his magic. We still don't necessarily know what his plan is. He's just going to be there pretending to be someone else, and that is his plan right now. He's just improvising the whole time.
He watches Mickey Merlin blow up a tomato and then, like, loudly scoffs at him and makes fun of him, like, just attracts all this attention.
He then sends a Keys up to the tower of the castle to find the Triforce, they say, like, Link, he says, like, oh, Link is guarding, and he's just like, okay, well, I'll get Link out here, and he goes and I believe what this is supposed to be is he turns a little lizard into Aquamentus, the first boss, because in the second boss we will see another, in the second episode we will see another boss character.
We didn't get the horn.
I'm not gonna say it's 100%, I believe they were just saying like dragon character.
I believe you're right. That is what they were going for. But I was like, is it? No, there's no. Okay, I was like, there's no horn, maybe not.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Anyway, Link fights it. It's another super slow battle, and he can't like any. Zelda throws up a plate that Link does his laser shot out of his sword to reflect it, and it takes like two hits, and then it just shrinks back down to the lizard again.
Well, each hit shrinks it, which, you know, if you don't hit it all five times, it won't shrink it all the way down, and then it will grow again, and then you have to start the cycle over.
While this is happening, Ganon steals the Triforce, runs away with it, and what they do to catch up with him is they have the Merlin guy that blew up a tomato earlier, because he blew it up because his growth spell was too powerful, and he points it at the ground, and there's a weed in there that grows and turns into this giant root, and they launch themselves in the sky, and while they're in the air, Zelda says, how are we going to get down? And I'm just like, sweetie, you're not going to have any problem getting down. That's not what you should be worried about. It should be like, what's going to stop us from getting down? Then we get this long shot of nothing for what feels like an eternity.
Yes.
And then eventually we see them, and they just land on the ground. Link lands first. Zelda lands on top of him, and he says, like, I saved your life. Don't I deserve a kiss?
Well, we established like about 10, 15 seconds earlier that he is now turned on, because she is pointing the apprentice's sorcerer at the seed she's planted. And she's going to trebuchet them across the map, basically. So he's like, oh, I'm in. I'm so into you, girl.
Adventure.
But it's delivered so dryly. He's like, ta-da, saved your life again. Kiss me. Like, just the driest.
It just keeps getting worse, because they do get in front of Ganon's whatever, his skeleton car, whatever we want to call this thing. Skeleton power card.
Because he goes all GTA and like snipes out his tire like CJ Johnson. You know, he falls off the car. Like, he takes out a tire.
But then they surround them, and they have to fight a bunch of Staphos. And Link says, like, we need to be back to back, but not just that. I need to take my belt off, and we're going to tie each other together. There's no reason for that. Like, I mean,
there's a reason.
But, like, I don't know. I feel like there you could have made... Maybe this isn't a reference to some other thing that I'm forgetting. Like, this is a reference from some show or a movie.
To a where move they... Chad tried at a frat house one time. Thought it would work.
This is but just like the this is just like back to back. We're gonna have a shootout. This is just
He hands
her Chekhov's less important sidearm, and like here.
Oh, and she doesn't even like there. There is a point where she doesn't even pull the string on it. She just points the bow at people, and it shoots stuff. Yeah. It shoots out laser beams.
It zap bolts is what it shoots.
Zap
out.
Bolts. Mm-hmm. The skeleton bow shoots zap bolts. Which are these ethereal or electric digital beams. This world's weird, man. Mm-hmm. This world's weird.
I thought I heard a rupee noise at one point because you do spend rupees to fire arrows in that in Zelda 1, but I don't remember. It's just a whole cluster of insanity. At some point, they knock a Stalfos. They're fighting Stalfos. They have bombs. A Stalfos gets knocked back, and Ganon is like, no, you gotta fight him like this, and starts giving him some like boxing tips. And
yeah,
like,
he's just punching the air for way too long.
And so Link changes sports and to baseball, and uses his sword to hit the bomb back at the bad guys. Also, capture the flag rules. You do have to return the flag to your flag to win. So he's not back. Yeah, he's almost to the underworld, but he's not quite there yet.
So as he's running down there, then Link, knocks a bomb all the way into there. And it's like he's going down the stairs. He's halfway down the stairs into the underworld. Then the bomb blows up. And fortunately, the Triforce got launched out back to where they were.
The Triforce of Wisdom.
Ganon died. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention too. When Ganon picked up the Triforce of Wisdom, it basically was talking back to him.
Yeah, she spits some knowledge at him.
And he, I thought this was hilarious. Where he picks it up, and the Triforce basically says something along the lines of like, it says it in like a rhyme or some kind of.
Do you want to know?
What is it?
If evil is the path you choose, no, evil is the path you choose, but evil doers always lose.
Yeah, and Ganon just goes, shut up! That's all, yeah. And I thought that was hilarious. Like,
no, I'm done with
but
this.
Anyways, they got the Triforce back, end of episode. Link tries to get another kiss, and Zelda is just like, well...
Kind of holds
I
hostage.
Guess you deserve it this time. Yeah, yeah. She's got Stockholm syndrome at this point here, being tied up to him, and she's like, "Sure, why not?" And then yeah, Sprite shows up and interrupts
him, like,
it.
"Don't look. Let's not make this a thing. You did do a lot of hard work today. I guess you deserve payment. But let's not make this a regular thing. I guess." And he crosses his fingers behind his back and's like, "Yeah, yeah, you're right. I won't.
No,
do that.
I'm still gonna be a sleazebag."
Nice. Sprite luckily stops everything for all the right reasons.
And yeah, and that wraps up the episode. That was our first episode. That was our introduction to this show. Buckle in, everybody. In the next episode, we're going to talk about cold spells. So again, don't watch this with us.
No.
But just listen to us talk about how bad it is.
Hey there, this is Jeremy Parrish, and if you're a fan of classic video game soundtracks, or if you just love 20-minute rock epics about war-ready armadillos that battle Catholicism, you should listen to Alexander's Ragtime Band. Join the power trio of myself, Elliot Long, and James Eldred each month as we talk about the most pretentious music of all, progressive rock, right here on the Greenlit Podcast Network.
Hello, my name is Jonathan Dunn, and I'm inviting you to listen to Our 3 Cents, a weekly podcast where myself and two of my very best gaming chums are counting down our top 100 favourite video games of all time. For all the episodes and information, check out our website, www.our3cents.co.uk.
Hi, and welcome back to Chat of the Wild. I'm BC Nelson, and I'm joined here by my co-hosts Jeremy Harvey and Brian Auer. Thanks for joining us for our watch through of the Zelda cartoon show from the late 80s. So far, it's been the opposite of a delight, but we're going to see so far through it. For this episode, we're watching episode 2, or at least I think it's episode 2. It doesn't really matter, just whatever They're all non sequiturs.
It's the second episode we watched.
Yeah, the second episode we're watching is called Cold Spells. One thing I think we forgot to talk about in the original session was that after the episode, or at least how I'm watching it, after the episode, you get to see the ending of the Mario Super Show, which is just a man dressed up as Mario singing about doing the Mario, which is...
Do the Mario, swing your arms from side to side.
In the middle of a desert.
Yes. Yeah, it's
a guy who's from Brooklyn, just standing in a desert, blinking around a desert.
I'm watching the DVD. It doesn't have those. It is, I don't even get the intro unless I hit play all. It just literally starts each one, and they call them stories. They don't call them chapters or episodes. Oh. They call them stories.
Right.
So, yeah, that's my version of it, but I'm very familiar with this end credit scene that you're talking about.
Just like this.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube and type in, you know, Mario Super Show outro or do the Mario.
Rest in peace, Captain Lou. Mm-hmm.
So this episode starts off with one completely going against everything that Zelda said in the first episode. She wants Link to leave the tower to help with spring cleaning for the entire castle, which we've already established that Link should never, ever, ever leave the Triforce alone unless he has to take out the trash.
Link also contradicts himself from the last episode by not wanting to leave this room of the castle. Whereas last time he was very angry about being made to stay there.
Yeah.
So, okay, there has been this long rumor about a Zelda show of some capacity being done by like Netflix or something like that for a while. And there was a lot of discussions about like what this show would be. And some people would talk about how like maybe it doesn't actually follow Link, that it takes place in this world and you're telling other stories, all that stuff. This show, we have just seen Link be lazy, and now we're going to see him do chores. Our favorite things from the Legend of Zelda series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is being stuck in a room with nothing to do and cleaning.
Side quests.
There's no way that Nintendo would let this happen today. I'm surprised Nintendo even lets this exist on the internet. I imagine if they had any say, they wouldn't.
Allow some kind of sale of DVDs too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the official company line is that, oh yeah, those are the CDI cartoons.
Yeah, I honestly would not be surprised if there was like something about this where they don't actually own it.
Mm-hmm.
That there is something with it that like this is not theirs, because if I look on the back of the DVD, there might be like something with Nintendo, but it's like special thanks to Nintendo for it. Not like there's not going to be a seal of approval or their logo anywhere on it.
I see. Judging from the way Nintendo did business, especially in the, I guess if the show was put together, okay, it was put together in 88. I don't know when this hit. I would assume in the fall, so maybe they put it together in 6 months. I don't know. But that doesn't sound like the kind of terms that they would do. And if they did make terms like that, Hiroshi Yamauchi probably beat the crap out of someone when he found out that America made terms like that. Because that is something that he would absolutely never put up with.
Nintendo bought the rights to a Mario porno just so that they never could have it distributed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they own the rights to a specific pornographic video for the Mario
series. Yamauchi definitely watched it with his mistress.
So we digress. Actually, not really going digressing, because this is just about Link being weird. So Link decides to do what he's best at and lie to women.
Think it's time to bone down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. That's sorry. Okay. A fighting thing. Sorry. You're right. I forgot about that.
So Link has decided that he doesn't want to participate in any of the spring cleaning. And so the obvious choice is to lie to Sprite. So Link decides that he's going to tell Sprite that he has a cold. He fakes the whole voice and everything. So Sprite takes pity on him and says, Link, you go rest. I'll use my magic to clean up the entire castle.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know why she's not just using her magic in the first place. Seems like the sensible thing to do.
She says later that she used her magic like she normally does to help with the cleaning. So like she kind of says, "Hey, this is what I would normally do. Something went wrong."
Yeah.
But yeah. We also get some more rhymes from the Triforce of Wisdom.
On Link's side of being like, dirty rooms aren't a big deal. Calm down.
Yeah, Zelda is...
in the grand scheme of things.
Another theme is Zelda is constantly criticizing Link's room for being dirty. Whether it's his fault or not, because moblins are trying to murder him.
It's also framed as his corner of the room in this scene.
Yeah. The Triforce is just like, look, he kills bad guys. Doesn't need to be clean. He's doing his job. So it's at this point that Ganon, who is spying on the Triforce, as always, decides that he's going to use the spring cleaning opportunity to go and finally steal the Triforce. And he's going to do so by making Sprite's magic malfunction.
So I got to bring up I think I could come out on the other end of this series and love Ganon because of him just being such a buffoon. And he's just like, all right, let's go. I'm going to summon this weird beetle thing that I'm going to ride there for no reason.
This dude has agency. It's great. He's trying to make things happen, man.
But he does stuff in the weirdest, dumbest ways.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think I'm going to love that about him. Because here's the thing. He's supposed to be having an annoying voice, So I can be fine with him being a weird pig creature and having a high-pitched, rattly voice. I can be fine with that because that's his character. But it's Link's voice, I'm going to hate him so many things about him just because of his voice. But Ganon, who knows? I may come out on the other side and be a Ganon apologist.
I am totally here for this guy. Absolutely. So far. He's the only one going out and questing. He's the adventurer so far in this show. He's the most powerful guy. Just walks into Hyrule Castle twice. Twice. Sneaks his way in.
Yeah, let's talk about the security just in Hyrule in general. He literally summons a giant beetle, as Jeremy said, and rides this giant beetle into town. And it's just
he's got like a saddle
around.
On it. He has just this saddle on top of this thing too.
Whole time he's like, hey, while they're distracted.
These are underworld horses.
Yeah, it makes. Less than no sense.
We didn't bring up, though, when Zelda was cleaning Link's room, she opens a window and immediately is attacked by a creature. And then she tries to suffocate it in Link's dirty clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be the inciting incident. And
No.
It's just dragging out this stinky clothes joke. Yeah, that's after that, when Sprite comes up to Zelda to be like, hey, Link's sick or whatever, or whatever. But yeah, Sprite is sticking up for Link, even though that means it's more work for her to do. And, it's pretty.
The things you do for love, man.
Yeah, I guess. It's just, yeah, the things you do for people who manipulate you.
So speaking of things you do for love, Sprite tries to get Link an orange from some random lady out on the street.
Just a random lady being like, oranges, oranges.
So I was watching this and thinking that Ganon's plan was he was disguised as the random lady giving out oranges.
Exactly.
And he was going to give her a poison orange for Link to incapacitate.
She's not asking for any money.
Yeah.
In fact,
he's just standing out in the daylight up on a bridge somewhere. Like, is anyone can notice it.
This literal pig monster is standing on a giant beetle in the middle of the day, shooting rays of energy at fairies, and nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Did either of you have any idea what he was doing to Sprite when he shocked her?
None.
I
thought he did something to the orange.
He said he was getting her sick or something. So I was like, okay. And then she all of a sudden is filled with energy. So he like gave her a sensu or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, the lady never gets payment for this. She's just handing out oranges.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when she wasn't asking for money, I was like, oh, that's Ganon disguised right there. He's disguised himself in the last episode. He's
Hyrule
totally got
a
disguise this time.
Hyrule is a socialist country. Just share everything.
So Ganon, instead of making poisoning oranges or making Sprite sick, has somehow just sabotaged her magic. So she goes back and she tries to start cleaning a room. And everything goes haywire, total fantasia, mops and brooms and buckets are running amok.
I like that one of them, that the buckets are just pouring water straight on the bed. Like, eventually they do some more extreme things, but it's just getting straight to the point where we're just like, dude, if you spilled a bucket of water on your bed, that's bad. That's ruining the mattress. Like, you're not going to be able to dry that thing out. Especially back then. They didn't have fans back then. I mean, they had magic, so who knows?
Yeah, they didn't have
more,
like, those...
you just get more feathers at that point.
Sure. They didn't have those plastic mattress covers. Those mattress
No.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no.
This is where you find out it's fine because Link's incontinent.
I mean, that was normal. That was the normal part of cleaning Link's bed, yeah. No, because they do dump water on it, and at some point, two of the mops, like, just for, like, a little bit at the end of the shot, get up on the bed and start, like, plunging themselves into the water of the like, oh, here's our bucket now. It's this bed.
Like, they not only have a mind of their own, they know what would be a bad thing to do immediately. Like, they know, like, humans like their beds, and if a wet bed would be a bad thing for humans. And so they immediately go to that.
We get the Sorcerer's Apprentice imagery in the first episode, and we get more of it in this episode.
So,
but yeah, she's like that. That was, she gets hit with recoil when she casts this spell to let us know that something is wrong.
So Sprite is now, you know, besieged by insane cleaning implements, and Zelda, who's cleaning elsewhere in the castle, is suddenly attacked by said cleaning implements. Link, who has refused to eat his orange because he's like, oh, I don't want to feel better. Like,
He's refusing.
But he's faking it. Won't matter. Take the orange, dude. Oranges are delicious.
Yeah. It's a refusal of the call. Yeah. He tosses the orange, too, into the corner like garbage.
Yeah, rotten fruit on all the corners there.
Because he hasn't learned anything and he won't ever.
So Link hears Zelda screams and then goes, obviously, to save Princess Zelda, because you have to.
Well, he says it sounds like Sprite.
Yeah, he's going to save Sprite.
Oh, yeah.
And Ganon sees all of this chaos and he's like, yeah, this is exactly what I planned. Mop water. Magic mop water. It's not even, the water's not even magic, because they have to leave to go to the well to get more water.
No, they're just flooding. They're just flooding that room,
and they fly.
That's all they're doing. Yeah.
Because, you know, the hermetically sealed castles of the medieval age.
So while Zelda and Link are busy trying to save Sprite, Ganon has the bright idea to walk up the side of the castle with his gigantic beetle, which you would think that they would have grates over the windows or guards in the tower, but no. He just walks up there and grabs the Triforce and then starts piecing out.
He's like,
their only security is an annoying boy.
I mean, he did deliver like a small little monologue here. And of course, evilly took his time, but yeah, he's just
yeah, he's
like,
standing in the room and being like, I can't believe I'm actually in here right now. This is Link's real room. I'm fangirling out right now.
I have a poster of him at home. If this were a musical, he would have a giant number here.
And so, like, the whole thing is the it's unclear what exactly Link's beams do. They just like evaporate everything. For like the Moblins, it makes sense that he would, you know, murder the Moblins. They go back to the evil jar. But now he's hitting, you know, buckets and mops that are flying through the air, and they just blink out of existence. Do they go to the evil jar? Do they just...
I want to say yes. I want to say it turns out that that sword, its power is that it sends things to the evil jar. That is the sole thing that it does.
Just yeah. Indiscriminately.
We haven't really brought it up yet, and I think it was right about this time while watching these two episodes that I realized that Link has a gun. Link has a gun. He only uses his shield and his sword, and he uses his sword like a gun. And they use the sound effects like a gun. The only one who uses any of the other items that we have from Zelda games is Zelda herself, because why would Link use them? He has a gun.
But he keeps them with him. We do get to see it. He hands her a boomerang and what was the other item?
A bow.
Another bow. And they are these tiny things that are just like, oh, here's my, you know, 16th scale action figure toys. Yeah. Here you go.
Remember how these would shrink and grow in the last episode? Just remember that. Here they are.
Yes. Do I swallow it? How does this work? Is it reverse shrinky dinks?
So now that Sprite is safe and sound, Link and Zelda hightail it to the forest to try and stop Ganon from taking the Triforce all the way into the underworld. It's weird in that they know that there are underworld entrances out there, and
they admit that they know where this is, and that they haven't built a guard outpost or
a scout tower
or something to keep an eye on this when it pops up out of the ground.
Link knows a secret one that he doesn't tell other people about.
That's
that
a better
he takes
one.
He takes his secret trips to the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To do his underworld things.
What do you do in an underworld, Link? Why is your name in the logbook, Link? Huh?
Don't say anything more.
So Link is like, don't worry, we'll catch up. I know a secret. Meanwhile, Ganon just has the Triforce, like, just down there. Like,
He got it to home base.
He's down there. Yeah. I mean, you have to actually bring it to the flag, but yeah, you know, he's inside the base at this point.
I was waiting for like the Triforce of Wisdom to be like, actually, there's three, idiot. That's it.
The Triforce of Courage. What is the Triforce of Courage's gimmick? Because we've heard the Triforce of Power talk, but I think he's just like a hype man for him.
It just wants to fight. It's just the Triforce of Courage is constantly just like, come on, hit me. I dare you.
Yeah, come on. I can take it.
So they get down there and they get trapped in this jar. And meanwhile, Sprite, who feels terrible because this is somehow all her fault, even though it's really all Link's fault for pretending to be sick and giving Ganon the idea, tries to follow them to the underworld. So now our heroes are trapped in a jar. Link tries to blast his way out, but the sword beams just bounce around.
Yeah, it's bulletproof.
Yeah,
well, because it only sends things to jars. You can't use the jar gun sword on jars.
It just put me back in the jar, man. I don't know how to get out of the jar.
I am the jar. You can't put me in myself.
I can't pull over anymore. And then so everything is doomed. By all accounts, by the show's own rules, this should be game over, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We see Ganon, and he goes, hur, 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 and it says Return of Ganon, and then game over.
Mm-hmm. Try again.
But no, Sprite
this
shows
time
up.
Get the apple instead of the orange.
Sprite shows up, saves the day, fight with Ganon ensues, and the weird thing is, like, they get they get the Triforce back, or they get the Triforce of Wisdom back, and the cave is collapsing.
Well, you're skipping something. We were introduced to another boss character because they were about to be fed to Goma.
Oh yeah, true.
They say Goma. They just refer to Goma as a crab this whole time,
and a he.
Goma is a I don't know. It's a species, right? Okay. Like that's how I always looked at it. There was Queen Goma. We fought Queen. We just haven't seen King Goma. That's all.
Fair enough.
But yeah, then they keep making. They made a couple, at least one crab pun, and then it was about to eat him, and then they got out, and Link like gets stuck on the claw and gets pulled out, which immediately is Ganon is just like, no, they're supposed to stay in the jar. but yeah, then they of course defeat Goma.
See, Sprite shoots out a beam. Right? Like, so she can shoot stuff, which causes, like, the Goma to kind of freak out and throw Link from the jar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of Sprite helping, saving the day. He also makes him dance like a Old West guy.
Does he do that? I must have missed that. I must have been, like, writing something down at that
time. Shoots his gun at his feet.
Yeah. That's that more gun than sword.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah. You were saying it was collapsing.
He's the one that destroys the whole underworld structure. He tries to hit Ganon? Zelda when she's free. Ganon shoots fire at her. She dodges it. This causes it to hit a wall and cause the whole thing to collapse. And so that's when they get out of there.
Ganon's a buffoon.
Zelda tries to get the other Triforce.
She's standing in front of both of them.
Yeah.
And Link says no time.
Yeah.
Why don't we grab
the thing that is going to save the world? No, there's no time. Absolutely not.
But I'm right in front of, like, literally in the time that you were telling me to not grab it, I could have grabbed it. No, there's no time.
So usually in Capture the Flag, when you get your flag, you know, that one guy goes, got the flag back, and it appears back in at its home base. No one's ever taken both flags and smashed them together at the point where you grab the flag. So I don't, would peace have dawned at that moment if someone good had put them both together, or did they have to bring it all the way back to their base? Like, how would this have worked?
Again, I'm going to keep this canon in my head until it happens, where I think that these two Triforce pieces by themselves are benign, that until you have the third one, you can't use the power. And so we're just going to have this back and forth, and nothing actual, like, catastrophic is going to happen, because there's a third one that they just don't even know about, and they just keep going back and forth
that
forever.
Never gets brought up?
No.
That never, ever appears? Well, at least Ganon now has spring cleaning to do, so that's good. Link's pretty happy about that. But then he gets called out for being a liar, and he has to clean. Is that what they're implying? I don't know.
I'd like to say that there was a better ending than this, but I mean, that's it. Like,
yeah,
the day has been saved. Spring cleaning still needs to be done, and yeah. We get
Link
to watch.
Still hasn't learned anything.
Yeah. No one has learned from this lesson.
Yeah, no. I don't know. I could do my little highlight of the voice actor thing. That might be a way to end the episode.
Okay.
I'm just going to start off with Jonathan Potts, the voice of Link. I assume he's, you know, like I said, this is made by Deke, so I assume all of these voice actors are from Canada, but he seems to have gotten this job. He has done nothing but, you know, like, character appearances in TV shows, you know, 1 to 2 episodes here and there. Not a whole lot of stuff, but he seems to have gotten this job from doing the show Beverly Hills Teens, which is a Deke show that he was in, like, almost all 60 episodes of. As a named character player. I don't know. But same people kind of worked on both shows. I assume that's how he got this gig. Because there's not a whole lot to say after this. It's just a lot of small parts and roles and stuff. I would like to point out his extensive work in the Beyblade series. Lots and lots and lots of different characters, additional voices and whatnot. But yeah, all over the Beyblade series, apparently. Jeremy, do you like Jason X? As like bad horror movie or anything?
Oh, that no.
No, okay. I don't know. I mean, it's not. I know it's not supposed to be a good movie, but he's like the inciting incident of that movie, apparently. That's the only other big thing I can really find. The rest of it's all, okay. Like I said, small parts and here and there. But yeah, like he plays the professor. Apparently that movie takes place 500 years in the future, and they come back to a frozen over hellscape Earth and stumble into the laboratory where they were experimenting on Jason 500 years ago and wake him up. So yeah, he's that guy.
There's your Jason movie lore in this Zelda podcast.
Yeah, I guess so. I found out that, you know, of course, it being a big series, it has its own like wiki thing, and each character's wiki entry somewhere near the top says he is the 139th person to be killed by Jason. I thought that was pretty cute. So yeah, that's Jonathan Potts for the most part. Go Beyblade.
Yep. So for next week, we'll be suffering through the wonderful episode 3 called The White Knight, aka Wild Thing, directed by John Grust.
I'm so scared.
Thanks again for listening, and thanks again for our patrons for allowing us to do this, and catch us again on Chat of the Wild.